My father, the late Leon Blum, was a loyal member of the American Medical Association. He seldom missed a monthly meeting of the Queens County Medical Society, to which he drove about the 10 or 15 miles along Queens Boulevard to the beautiful Academy of Medicine of the Medical Society of the County of Queens, which also had a beautiful library, the Bettinger Library. And each week he would sit back with the Journal of the American Medical Association, spend almost the whole night talking with his colleague, Harry Richmond, about the latest articles. And although he never saw me go to medical school or become a physician, you can imagine my joy when in 1977, the AMA announced the Morris Fishbein Fellowships in Medical Journalism, named after the famous but also infamous editor of the journal who had reigned from around 1925 to 1950. And I didn't get the fellowship the first year and stayed on to complete my residency and teaching fellowship in Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami. But I did start DOC in the meantime, or Doctors Out of Care, and one of the individuals who helped me at Jackson Memorial Hospital was Steve Dresnick, a surgery resident turned radiology resident who was active in the House Staff Association. And he came up with a way for me to suggest to the head of the association that DOC should get some money. And the trick was to make it seem like the head of the association had come up with the idea. But we did get $2,000, our first real major gift, to start our anti-smoking activities in Miami. And Dresnick became interested in the AMA's resident physician section. And after attending one meeting in Chicago, he told me he wanted to run for president of the group. And he asked me to help write a speech. He also got me on the schedule to talk about DOC and how residents should get involved in anti-smoking activism. And somehow both his speech and my talk at the old Chase Plaza Hotel in St. Louis resonated well, and so well that he was elected president and I was elected to the governing council, the resident physician section, on a write-in. So it was a fun group. I remember one particular guy, Don Winston, who was a riot, a former thoracic surgery resident. And we'd go to Chicago four times a year for these weekend meetings and have great dinners. One was at the Greek Islands Greek restaurant. And my contribution was to just keep at it to get the AMA to get more involved in anti-smoking activities and endorse magazines that didn't accept cigarette ads, and really to get the AMA to sell its cigarette stocks that they still held in the membership retirement fund. And I would say that I did engender quite a lot of publicity for the RPS with the anti-smoking activism. Several articles were included in the section called Code Blue in the journal Resident and Staff Physician. So you could say the RPS did use DOC and me as a vehicle for promoting itself. But I never realized I wasn't in the good graces of the staffers or even my colleagues. You know, I would complain that we were put up in luxury hotel rooms with little matchbooks that had our names, "Good evening, Dr. Blum," you know, on the pillows. And so they humored us by putting us up in a flea bag hotel the next time, which was so awful that we all voted to go back to the luxury hotels. But in any event, in 1979, the AMA announced its first national speaker competition for physicians who were in broadcast journalism, who had given a major presentation at a meeting. And resident physician section nominated me so that I could enter in the category of radio talk show and also radio news, which I had done as the founder of the Doctor Show in Miami. Well, I won in two categories and received a check for $1,000 that the resident physician section permitted me to donate to DOC. Meanwhile, I'd completed my teaching fellowship in family medicine and applied again for the Fishbein Fellowship and did win this time. And quite excitingly, we were on a route, Doris and I, to Chicago, where it was a most exciting year under Bill Barkley, who was the editor of JAMA at that time. And in November, Dresnick gave me a ring and said, "Why don't you apply again? We'll nominate you for the AMA speaker competition." And I entered in the category of television news, which I had been doing for WTVJ in Miami, and also for my radio program, The Doctor Show. And in the spring, I learned that I'd won again. That's when I received a tape recording from a member of the council, Joe Silicon, who'd been the secretary, and had openly recorded in front of everybody the meeting the minutes of the spring meeting of the AMA resident physician section. And it wasn't as if I was entirely shocked, but the tape indicates that there was quite a debate over how to take the check for $1,000 away from Alan when he would go up at the banquet that the AMA was holding for the Speaker Awards to receive the award. Joe was a pathology resident, and he carried forward my work that I'd started on anti-smoking activism and was able to get that resolution to the floor of the House of Delegates for the AMA to sell their tobacco stocks. Joe later founded a continuing medical education company called the Osler Institute, which has become one of the most successful in the field.